You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Eric Raines. After an intense energetic activation in 2012, Eric became aware of the implantation and parasitic construct in a very real way. His subsequent search for answers about this experience led him on a journey to self-discovery. This discovery, coupled with increasing real-world practice, allowed him to gain a deep understanding of how this other system works, how to identify the interference and constructs, how to promote self-protection through daily practices, and most importantly, how to remove these false constructs from himself as well as others. You can find out more on his website, www.unleashingnaturalhumanity.com. I posted his YouTube link, and he's also on Facebook. So let's welcome him to the show now. Hi, Eric. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Lance?
Good. Well, welcome back. It's good to talk to you again. I always enjoy talking to you because your energy is so good.
Why, thank you.
So what kinds of things have you learned since we last talked, and what's been going on in your life?
There's been quite a few things going on, actually. Stepping into this whole line of unlocking things and moving forward and finding the next level and moving into the space after that, you know, it unlocks like a whole progression that, you know, we're honestly starting like in the baby stages of like really understanding the way consciousness works with reality. And, you know, things along the lines of like slowing time down, speeding time up, you know, this is becoming pretty common, you know, like things along the lines of recognizing that time doesn't exist and, you know, actually trying to utilize it. Like, well, I don't have enough time to get here. Okay, well, let's just make it so that we do have more time, you know, so, stuff like that. We've been doing that quite a bit, but one of the things that we've really been pushing forward is the Golden Frequency Immersion Retreat. That is actually going to be on August 28th through September 4th.
Okay.
And that's going to be in McLeod. That's Mount Shasta. And we're doing all kinds of really cool stuff with that. We've got 30 spots that are open for people that pretty much we're taking them from the ground up into this energy work. We're unlocking the body. We're teaching Qigong. So pretty much what's going on is it's a breaking down of the tensions and the resistance inside of the body and opening it up into a completely relaxed and open state, and then inducing the golden frequency inside of that and allowing it to flow clearly. And so it's really, really cool what we're kind of planning with all of this, because this work, it has a progression. You just can't stay in one spot with it. The energy is always shifting, so you always have to keep moving. And this is what we're doing. You know, it has to shift out of just the one-on-one session thing, and it has to get to the point to where we're actually training people how to do this. You know, I do coaching and stuff like that, but this is going to be the most in-depth type of a coaching scenario that we've got. You know, it's 7 days total to really open things up, and I'm really, really excited about it. It's really a line in the sand. It's a marker point. You know, when we have that many people coming together to do this type of energy work, it's really kind of amazing what'll happen. You know, one person by themselves, they're pretty powerful, you know, like I can do some pretty cool stuff, but, you know, if we put us into a group and we all work together towards the same goal, it's, you know, we can shift the world. You know, we got to save the planet. We got to take it back. And this is the whole point.
Absolutely. And where can people find out about the retreat?
You can find out about it on my website. It's on the pretty much the latest article that I just posted. It's just called the Golden Frequency Immersion Retreat. Like if you Google search Golden Frequency Immersion and then Unleashing Natural Humanity and the same thing, it should pop up.
Great. Well, you know, I love energy work. You might even see me there.
Good. I'd love to have you there, Lance.
It'd be fun. I like stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. I think you'd be pretty good at it, too.
I suspect I probably might be.
Well, you know, you don't get into this line of work unless you're kind of dialed in anyway, right?
Right, exactly. Exactly. So are you going to be the main facilitator? Are there going to be other people with you? Or?
So it's just going to be me and my fiance, Sierra Lovelace. Yeah, we're going to be the main facilitators there. So,
wonderful.
Geez, what are we teaching here? We're teaching something that I've actually invented myself. It's called cycle stretches. It's using yoga included inside of moving energy through the body, through the meridians. And
wow.
So there's one stretch for each actual meridian itself. And that right there is like, I've only done this on myself, and I've only taught it to, you know, a certain few people, but everybody I actually walk this through, that is hands down alone one of the easiest ways to clean your meridian flow out and actually work directly on organs themselves. So, like, say, for instance, that you, you know, you've got a failing liver or something like that. We've got these stretches that you can use and push the energy through the meridian, and it's actually regenerative for the liver itself. You know, it's a really cool modality that we're developing, but we've also got all kinds of in-depth Qigong. So I teach the basics, the lifting the sky and chasing the moon inside my prep video on the YouTube channel. And that's pretty much a foundational type of a situation right there. Like it opens up the central channels, and it gets the central channels, the flow up the spine and down the front, the governing vessel and consumption vessel meridians. Those power all the other 12 major organ meridians in the body, and those two movements that I teach are right there. They're really good for opening up those, but there's all kinds of other different ones. There's different types of Qigong for opening up the flow inside the abdomen to make the hands stronger so that you have stronger, like, energy work. You know, there's all kinds of different Qigong techniques that are out there. As well as, you know, like, physical things that we're going to be doing. Like, there's a psoas release stretch or psoas releasing exercises or trauma release exercises that are absolutely phenomenal for getting you into a state of hypertension, or not hypertension, but hyperactivity in the musculature. And you can induce yourself into a trauma release state then. And it's it works on the principle, like, wild animals. Like, if they ever go through, like, a tranquilizing or something like that, like bears especially, like, when they get up and they take off running, they do, like, this crazy seizuring type of a thing as they're running, and it's like they're shaking it out, and they literally are. They're shaking the trauma out of their bodies, and we're inducing that state right there, and you can actually literally shake traumatic history out of your musculature, out of the neurological systems. And it's, you know, it's really amazing stuff that we're planning on showing people, but it's all something that it's not, you know, like, you're coming here to have somebody do something for you. I will be doing energy work. I will be helping people. But what I am doing is I'm showing you how to get to this state so that you can do it on your own, give you tools so that you can come to this retreat, you can learn how to do this, and then you can come home and teach other people. You can come home and keep yourself nice and strong, protected, and clean, and you know, regenerate your body, take your temple back, because, you know, we're a mind, body, spirit, and the body is the temple. The body is the temple, and we got to take care of it. So it's time to start learning how.
Absolutely. And, of course, with the times changing and shifting into a new paradigm and moving out of the old paradigms of greed and service to self, there are going to need to be a lot of people to empower other people to heal themselves, because it's going to
exactly.
be about, you know, us doing it for ourselves and not looking outside of ourselves for answers and gurus and teachers and saviors and so on.
Exactly. You know, and that's one of the major things, you know, because I can do some pretty cool stuff, you know, and, like, we've documented quite a few things that we can do here, but I am not special in the fact that nobody else can do what I can do. Anybody else can do what I can do. You just have to train. You know, you have to practice. And anybody can get to the point to where, you know, I've got people who I've been training who are actually getting beyond the level I'm at. You know,
wow.
It's really interesting how the progression goes forward, because, you know, we're not individually the Messiah figure. You know, together we are the human conscious Messiah field, you know, and that's what this is all about, is stepping into the place where each of us is the avatar, each of us is the guru, you know. It's we don't need leaders, we need everybody to lead themselves, and we'll come together in, like, a beautiful harmonious dance that turns into the literal rebirth of this planet. You know, we have to take this back. The darkness is ending, and we have to figure out how. We can't just say, well, this is coming and that's coming. We have to actually prepare for it, and we have to start doing things that shift us into that progression, because it's not something that is happening in the future. It's something that's happening now. We are the shift. We are the transition, and we need to start shifting. We need to start transitioning, because I'll tell you right now, it's going to happen one way or another, and I, for one, would much rather ride the wave than, you know, get hit blindsided by it, surprised, and you know, get tossed under the surf and have to hold my breath until I could come back up and find the surface again. You know, it's much easier to figure out what you're doing beforehand, because either way it's coming, so let's get it done.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you, and of course it's much easier if we're already, you know, got our surfboards and we're in the water at least, paddling around when the big waves hit. So I'm all for it.
Yeah, definitely.
So now, what are some of the things that you've seen in people that have come up that are something somewhat unusual?
So there are some very, very interesting things that have been popping up. Like, there was, on the same day, actually, two clients. I haven't seen this before or since. They were inside of a crystalline type of a cube that, we started to reverse engineer what was happening with all the energy and the flows and what was going on. And they had literally injected themselves into a different reality, because, they were part of one of the realities where the light forces had tried to intervene, and the toplet bombs went off, like the strange quark properties. I think Cobra is the only one who actually has ever even talked about these things.
Oh.
But they're bombs that's holding humanity hostage. They're inside of specific people. They're inside of different places. They're inside of the etheric realms. And there's a system of dismantling that's been happening right now that is, you know, there's all kinds of crazy stuff going on. But it was actually a parallel reality where these had been detonated, and
Whoa.
These people had literally, like, it was like an escape pod, like they saw the deconstruction around them. So the experience that one of these people had was, he was just doing his normal everyday thing. This was, I believe, in 2013. Just doing his normal everyday thing. He was a motorcycle mechanic, I believe. And he was just going to work, and the next thing he knows, he got out of his car, and he was walking up to the building, and he saw everything start to break apart into little cubes, like pixels that started to break apart. And that's actually the disintegration of the quark properties inside of the molecular structure that makes up like our reality. And so it was the disintegration of the quarks inside of the protons, neutrons, and electrons that he was seeing dismantling and crumbling in front of him. And he instinctively threw himself out into a different parallel reality. So we had to literally patch this guy into a different place that he wasn't from and make it as smooth transition as possible. Like, I mean, it's, you know, there's some really, really interesting stuff happening right now, because there are timelines that are being collapsed. There are timelines that are being opened. And, you know, when you hear about people reading the future and stuff like that, they're not reading a definitive, like, this is what is and this is what's going to happen. They're reading possibilities. They're reading timelines. And so you can find timelines that have a higher probability, but they're literally infinite. I mean, there's no end to these things. And so you don't have like a complete read on which way it's going. You just have, you know, the probability and the energy and the sway and the building and which way it's headed. And so, you know, this is kind of what's happening right now. There's multiple timelines that are being shut down that are extremely dark. And there are multiple timelines that are being opened up that have some of the most amazing light potential I've felt yet. And, you know, like, it's just these people are indicative of what's happening right now. We're literally coming to the eye of the needle, to where everybody was pulled inside of time and, you know, fractured into these infinite timelines that were, you know, like the ultimate rat race. You could do anything inside of this and think you were actually getting somewhere. And it's all getting smashed back down into the one timeline, to where we're going to be pushing through the eye of the needle. And, you know, the world can feel it. We all know that something big is going to happen. We just, you know, a lot of people are stuck with the fear porn mainstream agenda of, you know, the doom and the gloom, and, you know, everything's going to, you know, the poop's going to hit the fan. Everything's going to take out, and, We're all going to start killing each other. You know, it's going to be, you know, the pre-programmed stuff from like the movies and all that junk. But, you know, it's really not. What we're having coming is the apocalypse of the systems of the dark. You know, it's the undoing of all the occulted history. It's the undoing of everything that they have been doing for, you know, the past. Well, it's at least one zodiac cycle. There's no telling how long they've been here. So, I mean, it's at least the past 25,000 years, you know. And, like, what we're coming into as we're moving into this increased vibratory state inside the galaxy, the photon field that we're passing into, and the codes that were being downloaded through the sun as the galactic central sun starts to pulse and get ready for this transmission, it's – you know, it's really interesting what's going on, but, you know, it's all relative to free will right now, because the event energies, these pulse energies, the solar sneeze, whatever you want to call it, these are all waiting on human consciousness to reach a specific level of vibratory resonance to where they're reaching down. We have to jump up and grab a hold. And so as soon as that connection is met, you know, it's the meeting from the surface level to outside. That's how we're going to make this shift right here. And that's what we're headed to. And, you know, some of the stuff that I've been seeing, like, I honestly didn't know these things could go higher than the fifth dimension. We've been finding stuff making incursions all the way up to the 10th. Like, I mean, it's pretty crazy what's been happening. And we're finding multidimensional fields in people that you can pull something out and they'll feel better, but then it'll immediately just kind of float right back in, and it just shows up immediately. And what this is it's not even like a device. What it is a field that's floating and connected into, you know, multiple parallel realities. And so this could be affecting one person right here, but it can also be affecting, you know, the same exact life that they're traveling through, alternate lifetimes, alternate timelines, alternate past lives, present lives, you know, whatever. It's all a mix mash that's happening right now. And, you know, we're seeing stuff along the lines to where these are fields that are encompassing that entire thing, and it's affecting this person on the grand scale. It's affecting every single last version of them in the past, present, future, you know, in alternate timelines, and everything that possibly can or will be. And, you know, it's stuff like this we're seeing. It's literally all getting smashed down in together, and you can start to remove it as it's all one timeline. And so there's like maybe three or four major timeline branches in front of us right now, but they're all positive. Like, we have nothing that is negative coming in front of us. We might have some, you know, flare-ups from the dark as this transition takes place, but, you know, the more people who stand up and consciously take back their collective will, the faster this is going to move. And you can already see the new world, the seeds, the birth is, it's growing right now. People are coming up with amazing innovations, you know, amazing ideas, philosophies, and it's all starting right now. And, you know, this is the time. You know, we all have a major, major amount of work to do. It's not that this is going to be an easy transition, because it's not. We all have to, you know, literally tear down the old to rebuild the new. And we have a monumental task in front of us that's going to take, you know, generations, but it's all going to start here. It's all going to start within our lifetimes in these next couple of years right here. And it's an amazing time to be alive. It really, truly is. Really, truly is.
Well, I totally agree with you, and I love your perspective on it. And one of the things that I see going on is the preponderance of belief systems that we've all bought into, and also the amount of mind control that's going on and on multiple levels and interdimensionally. And so it does make things a little trickier for, you know, most humans that are unaware of that to navigate the waters, because once you buy into a belief system, then you're kind of limiting your options and you're giving away your personal responsibility. So you're no longer sovereign. You're, you know, at the effect of something that you believe is higher than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I see a lot of that going on with religion and politics and, you know, the worship of movie stars and the dark arts going on. And, you know, but what's really nice is that what you're saying, it seems like, is that all of the stuff that we hear about, and, you know, the chemtrails and the 5G network and all the horrible things that they're rolling out, is not going to survive, and it will not prevail.
Oh, not at all. not at all. They might be able to unroll it and, you know, have it up and running for a little bit, but these are the types of systems that right now the human consciousness is very, very aware underneath the surface that it is not natural, that there is something very, very wrong, and the push is happening. You can't stop it. And these things, the faster they roll out, the faster that this push is going to happen, because there's only so much pressure that you can put down before, you know, the line that you're squeezing breaks, you know, like I don't know if you've ever baled hay or, you know, baled cardboard or anything like that, but if you put way too much pressure onto the load that it can handle, it snaps back incredibly violently. And that's, you know, this is the pressure that they're playing with. They're trying to goad us into this one timeline, and everybody's, you know, trying to push back into what we know is right. But if they exert too much pressure, it's going to, you know, make a catalyst response that forces us to wake up and open into that. And so, you know, this is the whole predictive programming that they're trying to get a handle on. You know, they'll open up these ideas through news stories, through movies, through books and stuff like that, and they'll try to build up the acceptance to that. But, you know, stuff like this 5G, they're trying to put it underneath like one of the you know, it's like the next development, the next level of human, you know, connectivity, and it's really not.
It's
the exact opposite. But people are going to be feeling this stuff, you know, like we're already feeling the everything around us with the cell phone towers, you know, the Gwen towers and whatnot. We're already feeling this, but it's on a level that it's underneath perception. What they're trying to do with this is they're trying to stretch it up above that level to, gain that next level of that zombification, of that next level of shutting down. But this is actually going to push into where people are able to feel it. You know, it's not going to be underneath the surface anymore. But, you know, that's honestly indicative of how desperate they are to they're getting in our face now. They're getting literally like, hey, you know, this is what we're doing, and we have to, otherwise it's going to all shut down. So it's the last gasp of an incredibly old, ancient, dying beast, and it's not going to keep moving forward.
Well, right, especially since it's consuming its own tail. I mean, it's you know, anything that's consuming itself is going to reach the point where there's nothing left.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
We've been fed off of for quite a long period of time, and our internal bodies are all used for food, and we're basically being harvested. So, you know, now that people are becoming more aware of it, and the speed of transmission is becoming instantaneous, because it always has been instantaneous. There's never been a time delay, because there's no time in the first place. So,
yeah.
You know, we already are everywhere and nowhere at the same time. So, you know, when people say, well, geez, this, nothing's happening, well, you're not looking in the right place. You know, you have to look.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, and exactly, and just make it happen. You can change your thoughts and say, well, everything's happening, and I'm doing it myself, and look at this. It takes me no time at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's magic, and it really works. So tell me more about these timelines. Do you have a perception of how they're collapsing, or who or what forces are behind their collapse, or are they just collapsing on their own from the weight of it all, or what?
So what's happening right now, more than anything, let's just call them Team Dark. They're trying to extend out how much more time they have, even though time is an illusion. They're trying to, you know, loop back into things and keep on extending out the amount of it. It's not even time. It's amount of now that they have in this present moment before, you know, they're done. And so they're trying to open up multiple loops and fractures, and it's getting to the point that people are having some very interesting experiences happening because of it, you know, and like things like the Mandela effect, just things like that are, it's kind of a smaller scale of what's going on right now. People are starting to wake up with things that they have had, that other people have had, that they've known that they have had in their life, changing. You know, like suddenly you wake up and your friend has a completely different car, and you're like, wait a second. you were driving a white car yesterday, and now you are driving a blue SUV-looking thing. Like, what's going on? And you're looking at it, and you're like, wait a second, you've even got a basketball in the back window, just like the car. What is happening? He's like, I don't know. You might have been seeing me borrowing somebody else's car, but I've had this one for like the past 6 years, you know, and stuff like that, you know. Or like another friend of mine, she had a glass window in the garage, you know, like the doorway in between the garage and the house, and it was always a clear window. You could see inside down the hallway, and that all of a sudden was a stained glass window just one day, and it wasn't like a brand new one. It was, you know, pitted in dust and, you know, chips, and like it was old, like it's been there for a long time. So, I mean, you know, these are things that are starting to pop up right now. And this is indicative of a few things happening. You know, you've got the dark forces that are trying to extend out as much of these time loops as they can so that they can play through these same loops. And yet, you know, it's a limited amount of energy that they can gather inside of these loops. And they're trying to pull them up and then loop it back and then come back through the same energy and then just feed as much as they can through that. And what's happening at the same time is, as this energy is awakening up the collective consciousness, the timelines that are being created by people, because we are free will, you know, creating conduits of the timeline, people are starting to come together into the unification timelines. And so it's the collective consciousness right now that's starting to skirt everybody into like these laser-like convergences to where we're pushing in, and at the same time you've got the dark trying to schism everything out. And so as everything gets compressed more and more and more, as the timelines and everything gets pushed into the one so that we can hit that one moment and then start spreading out beyond that, you're going to start seeing the time distortions from the dark side getting more intense. You're going to have you know, just things that just don't make sense. Like, well, I was here for an hour and a half. How is it just 5 minutes after we left? Like, what's going on? You know, stuff like that's going to start popping up too, and it's going to get much more wacky. People are already starting to notice this, but it's not something that everybody's really acknowledging. They're just like, huh, that's really strange. I must have made like a miscalculation, or like, that's weird. You know, and they're making excuses for it right now. And this is just going to get more and more intense, you know, things along the lines of these energetic activations, to where people who have never felt chi before in their life, they're going to start, you know, getting goosebumps rushing from head to toe, and their blood getting lit up like crazy, and actually start to be able to like see inside their bodies and, you know, feel the multidimensionality around them. You know, this is going to start popping up more and more and more. And it's not because we're like going through like some evolution or something like that. It's literally our bodies, our DNA is reacting to the high vibratory environment that we are starting to go through. And so it's not like the dark can even stop this. It's our solar system is going through this part of the galaxy that is getting much, much higher vibration, and our multidimensional DNA can tap into this energy. And since it's there, we can actually use the abilities and the talents that come with that. And so it's you know, it's a natural progression that all solar systems go through, all conscious life solar systems go through eventually to get to this point. But we have just been hijacked and fed on for so long that the Earth can't stay back anymore. You know, it's time to go, and we're getting it done because it's happening. So let's get it done.
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking as you were talking about CERN and what a role that might be playing in some of this, some of the shenanigans.
So these particle colliders, you know, they're definitely doing some interesting stuff with the way that they're taking these you know, microscopic particles and colliding them at the speeds of light, and very close to the speeds of light. But I honestly don't think that those are doing anywhere near as much damage as like the Gwen towers that are propagating the scalar frequencies that are allowing the implantation and the parasitic attachments to begin with. You know, the scalar frequency is a it's a natural thing, but these machines are stretching it out so that instead of just like a little tiny slice of the little tiny layer of the jawbreaker, you know, it's like half of it. And so, you know, I think that's where the damage is really coming from. And like these different types of devices that they got, like these plasma and these frequency devices that they can use for weather manipulation, like the harps and stuff like that. I honestly think those are doing a lot more damage. I think what these particle accelerators are doing is actually powering, it's like a cover or a front to say, this is what we're doing for needing this enormous amount of power. I think what they're doing is powering etheric bases. I think they're bases that aren't underground. I think what they are is it's a null space that has been opened up, and so it's like an actual physical mirror space that is being ripped open with the distortions that they're using here. So I think that's what's going on with these types of particle colliders. I don't think it's anywhere near as serious as people say it is. I think that's all the smoke and mirrors. Just like, you know, Area 51, everybody knows about that, but that's not where all that stuff is. That's like, you know, Brookhaven or, you know, Dulce or something like that.
Right, right. Right. Well, there's also nanotechnology and self-replicating nanobots, and then I'm sure you've heard of black goo also. That there was a big mucky muck about that. And then programmable matter, which the corporations no doubt have some kind of control over because they've done commercials on it.
Oh, yeah. You know, and like this is the stuff that we're like seeing coming out of the sky with the chemtrails. It's not just you know, aluminum and barium and strontium that they're putting in there. It's like smart dust. It's nanofibers. It's Morgellons. You know, Morgellons is definitely something that comes from the chemtrails as well. So, you know, there's all kinds of stuff that they're putting into our food. They're putting into the water. They're spraying on us from the sky. There's all kinds of stuff going on. You know, we've got all these systems that are dumbing us down, turning us into, you know, idiots who can't understand, you know, like the 2+2. All we do is, you know, we consume and we buy and then we work. And, you know, we've got all kinds of things that are hitting us on all these levels. And yet for every single backup plan, for contingency plan, for backup plan that they have, for every single last scope of awakening that we are capable of, we're still waking up. And we're waking up in a spectacular manner. So, you know, it just goes to show you that we are much more powerful than we truly think we are, because a lot of humanity hasn't gotten to the point to where they're understanding this stuff yet, but everybody's connected in on this. And the more people who step in and wake up to these things and start adding their voice to the collective consciousness, their weight to the collective that says, no, we're going to go in the direction that we want to as a planet that's good for all of us instead of just a certain few, the faster it's going to take and the faster these people are going to feel it. You know, it's the psychology that's been bred into us is a very herd-like mentality, and it's all about stepping out of that fear and recognizing that you're going to have attention on you, and that's okay. You know, you want to be an example, and that's what we're here for. So, rock it.
Absolutely. And, you know, as you were talking, it reminded me of the 100th monkey effect, which, you know, is when allegedly, they did an experiment with monkeys and washing potatoes, and when the 100th monkey learned how to wash a potato, then all monkeys around the world instantly knew how to do that. It was just there. So it's conceivable that we will reach a tipping point when the teeter-totter is like at 50-50, and then it just tilts one nanoparticle into the arena of consciousness and awareness, and that will just blow things wide open, because that one, and that could be one person waking up. It could be anybody. And instead of telling ourselves, well, I don't matter, I'm not important, we have to know that we are important, and what we think and how we act and what we do is important. It could literally, we could be the deciding factor for all of humanity and not even be aware of it.
I don't think there are truer words that were ever spoken right there. Don't ever think that you're not doing enough. If you can light yourself up with a smile and you can spread that energy out to the planet, you are doing an amazing job right there. You are literally fulfilling one of the things that you came here to do. You know, that's our job, is to be the lighthouse, the beacon. We are literally able to tap into source energy, yet we are anchored into the 3D physical reality. This is both our salvation and the reason that we're stuck here, you know, because we can access that energy that's that high level, and that's why we've been hijacked. We've been, you know, tricked into dumbing ourselves down to this point that we can be fed upon. But this is also how we can get back out. You know, we have to be the light workers, the beacons of light here that are standing up and doing the internal work, you know, not shirking from the mean, the nasty, the ugly stuff that's here on the planet, because there's a whole bunch of it. You know, we have to understand this, and we have to be able to integrate it and heal from it in order to move on. And this is our job. You know, we have to step into the mean, nasty, raw, you know, festering wounds that are inside of humanity, these emotional bubbles of just awfulness, you know, like these awful issues such as like the sex trafficking, the pedophilia. You know, we have to look at these things. We have to understand what is going on, and we need to figure out ways to understand the psychology behind this and begin to heal that. You know, once we can remove the energetic functions, which is what I do, you know, with removing the energetic, the etheric implant technologies, the entities and whatnot. That's what I do. And once people are clean, there's still all kinds of damage that we need to start figuring out how to compassionately hold space for. Because how are you going to understand how to help the planet if you don't understand how to help heal everybody and everything that has been going on here? Because there's some really awful stuff that's been going on. Mm-hmm. And it's not all, you know, it's not unicorn farts and rainbows out there. There's a lot of really messed up stuff that's happening. And we need to start looking at this. We need to start examining it, and we need to look at it from a conscious perspective and start figuring out how to heal from this, you know, start feeling out how to not just heal the victims of this, but the perpetrators of this, because there's a sickness, there's a mentality that is perpetrating all of this. And yes, it is energetically caused, but it's a self-fulfilling system that we need to figure out how to break the cycle. And so this is where this generational healing is going to be coming in, but we're going to have all this energetic massive, you know, just undoing of the energetic systems behind it. And so it's going to be a lot of psychological and neurological things that we're going to have to figure out how to do. So, you know, just the simple fact of being able to take care of yourself to the point that you have enough love inside your heart to where you can hold space for somebody who's in pain, somebody who's hurting, somebody who's angry, you know, like that's what we're here for. We're here to really stand up and recognize that we're not, you know, separate groups. We're not separate, camps. We're not ideological groups that are separated and, you know, against each other. We're literally one human race who have individuals who might think a different way, but we are all still part of the same family, and we are all still here under the gun. You know, we've all got a massive amount of work that we need to do to get out from underneath this. And, you know, a lot of people aren't going to be able to do that. So it's our job to just be the beacons, be the examples, and step forward and start doing it. And so that's what we really need to do.
Yeah, you're so right. And that's what a lighthouse does. It just simply, you know, shines the light in a circle so that the ships coming in don't crash and wreck and lose all of the people on the ship. And I know that a lot of the work that you're talking about is going to require us being out of judgment and out of any duality. So it's going to require being in a neutral space and not judging. And we're not used to that, because we're used to taking sides and saying this is right and this is wrong. And that's just false morality that's been programmed into us. But we're going to have to see that things have happened, and it's just the way it is, and we're going to have to learn how to accept the way things are and be impersonal in viewing our fellow human being and in helping each other to descend out of the pit of chaos, because there's a lot of chaos going on, and there's a lot of judgment and a lot of fear, and so, you know, people have been repressed, and a lot of that repression turns into the shadow, and then the shadow turns into a collective shadow, and then it manifests on the global scale. So when we see somebody doing something like Jeffrey Dahmer, for instance, well, he simply is a manifestation of the body of humanity, and he took the part of being the one to show everybody where we were at and to release the shadow, so that people could see that we were repressing so much darkness that it forced somebody to manifest in the way that he did. And presently we see things as completely disconnected from us, but everything is interconnected and makes sense if you look at it from a multidimensional perspective. And so when you see things happening in the news that call your attention, there's a reason, because everything in our lives is like a mirror. And as we travel through our lives, we see people and we sometimes don't understand why we meet certain people. But all you have to do is look and see, say, what was the message? Is there a message from that person that I need to incorporate? And if you really look inside, you can see what it was that was, you know, you needed to be reminded of, or something that was missing, or something positive. So we can use our own lives as tools, as a mirror, to guide us through the navigational fields of the multidimensional aspects that we are.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Nailed it.
So, yeah, but I love what you're saying, because, you know, it is time for us to take action and to, you know, be more proactive, because as you said, you know, things are going to happen pretty fast, and it seems to me that things have gotten so stagnant on this planet. Oh, and the other thing is that we have had, most likely, hundreds or thousands of lifetimes incarnating as the good guys, as the bad guys, as the alcoholic, as the murderer, as the rapist, as the rich guy, as the poor guy. And so we have been all of these roles, and we need to remember that when we're looking at other people and their lives, and not just look at it from the single perspective of one lifetime. That we have been all of that. We have done all of that. We've been from other galaxies. We've been gods in our own universes. And we're in the process of densification and coming out the other side and to something that is entirely new that may never have happened before. So it's something that we can't really know because we have never done it. So we're on the cutting edge. And so when people are looking for answers all the time, well, what's going to happen? Who's going to do what? Blah, 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 blah. Well, just create it. Envision it. You know, bring it forth. What would you like to have happen? What kind of world would you like to live in? You know, do you want a world that looks like it does today with false flag terrorism running amok, with corporations sucking everything up, throwing everything toxic back at us, and... You know, no time to do anything. Everything is being sucked dry, and it has to do with greed and power and all of those silly things that when we're kids, we get stuck on, and society just reinforces that, and we become automatons stuck in a system that is not serving anyone. You know, maybe McDonald's has served 9 billion hamburgers, but they've served no one in serving those hamburgers. You know, 9 billion of nothing, or, you know, something that's filled with junk, is 9 billion of a negative. And so when we start thinking for ourselves and realizing, well, I want good food. I don't want, you know, something that has space dust in it or nanoparticles or, you know, chemtrail fractals in my, you know, my steak and all that. I want something... And then maybe I don't want steak at all. Maybe I want to be a breatharian, you know, and breathe chi, you know. So we're going to have to start thinking about what do we want. If there's nobody out there that holds the plan for us that says, and we bought into this idea that there's a divine plan. Well, there may be a divine plan, but until otherwise notified, we're going to have to make one up as we go and be the divine one. That's creating the plan, and together we'll get this thing done.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's you know, there might be a plan out there, and honestly, I know for a fact that there is. That plan is for you to live your life as well as you can, and you know that's
right.
Exactly. That's all there is to it. And if you don't live your life as well as you can, then guess what? You have another one. You can come back and do it again, and you can live that one as well as you can, you know, and that's the plan, you know, but it's pretty much what we are meeting right now is it's a culmination of the energy, the awareness and the need. And that's what we have moving us toward it. And so it's like a pond that all of a sudden it has enough water in to it that it breaks over, you know, whatever bank it has, and it becomes a stream. The water is moving. You can, you know, stay and wait until it all drains down, and it's a lot harder to get out, or you can go with it. It's time. Let's do it.
Right. And we can let the world go on as it is with, you know, nuclear waste being thrown into the ocean and nuclear plants leaking all over the place and chemtrails and smart dust and all kinds of horrible things. And, you know, and we can just hear about more and more being rolled out because it's not going to ever stop. The dark side is never going to stop throwing things in our way and at our feet. And it appears that they are not going to be satisfied until we're eliminated. I mean, it does seem that that's the end goal, that, you know, get rid of those damn pesky humans. They're worthless.
Yep.
Except we are food for them. And so, you know, in our worthlessness, we're keeping those people alive, or those beings alive, because they can't create. And the entities that are running things can only imitate life. They can't create life. We create life. And so there's a lot of jealousy going on because, you know, why should a human being have so much power when we can't even do anything but imitate it? And so they get us because we're the creators. They have dumbed us down to the point where we think we're just, you know, worthless, useless eaters. And stuck in jobs or whatever, stuck in a routine, and then they program us to create what they want us to create. And so, in that sense, they're creating through us. And as long as we allow that to occur and we're not aware of it, it's going to continue at the unconscious levels. Because that's where it goes on. It goes on in our dreams and in our unconsciousness. And the more awake we are and the more present, the less possible, and the happier we are, and the more joyful and full of love, the less possible it is for any of those things to happen. So, that's my rant for the night.
Oh no, that's a great rant right there. Yeah, you hit that right on the head right there. It's all about taking away their ability to feed on us, and their food is our low vibrational emotions, the states of stress, you know, the states of anger, depression, shame, you know, jealousy. You know, they really, really enjoy these emotions. They enjoy the conflicts. They enjoy the you know, the anger between two people throwing insults at each other because, you know, an argument isn't just people yelling at each other. It's not just people disagreeing. You know, even if it's just a Facebook online argument, you are still literally making a connection with that person and hurling dark emotions at them.
This is a
form of black magic attack. You know, when you're having like that type of an emotional response to somebody, you are making a connection to them because this is the way these things see the world around us. You could be, say, like, oh, you're going to the DMV or something like that, and you're sitting across the room from somebody, and you look up and you see them, and you recognize that they're there, but you have no other connection than that. The entity that might be attached to you won't even see that person. But yet, at the same time, if you are thinking about somebody, say, who lives in Greece, you know, and, you know, you're thinking about them as like it was a bully or something, and you're remembering what happened back, you know, 10, 15 years ago, and you're getting really angry about it, you're making a direct energetic connection to that person, then that entity can see that person just like they're sitting right next to you. So they don't see the world in the physical manner the way that we do. They see the world in energy and connectivity and opportunity. And so this is how they operate. They will get people to literally start programming black magic rituals that make open connections that they can then pass themselves through. You know, this is how what people call a curse, or, you know, a family curse, or like like a demon or something like that that's been attacking the family. You know, that's how these things happen right there. Mm-hmm. It's not that it's like trying to attack and do stuff like that. No, it's in the background and it's manipulating and it's, you know, putting thoughts, impulses, and emotions, little triggers in there, and it's giving the opportunity to lead into a very dark state with a directive. And so, you know, it's not like they are forcing people to do this. They are just setting up the opportunity, and then people are stepping into that state themselves.
Right.
And it's very, very dark black magic. You know, when you find yourself thinking about somebody on that level where you are not smiling and you do not feel good inside yourself, you are pumping those feelings and those emotions to them, and these things feed off of that. So you might be making their parasites stronger, their attachment stronger, or you might be, you know, completely and totally bypassing having to, like, go – an entity having to go and find this person out, and you might be able to, you know, tag that person like that and have that entity then attack them and start bringing them down as well. So, you know, it really brings into a different sort of an importance about the responsibility of your own thoughts and your own actions and your own emotions internally. You know, we have to be recognizing what we really truly are, which is infinite co-creators who we create with energy. And so this energy is nothing more than an emotional connectivity that we are feeding these things with, and we are directing at each other. So on that transverse note, we can also fill the world with much higher positive vibrational emotions that these things can't eat. And it's a thing that is completely and totally the exact opposite resonance of what they are, and it undoes them. It completely and totally makes them powerless and weak, and you can easily move them out of your reality after that, at that point. So it's all about stepping into the space to where we're a responsible creator, which means taking responsibility for the internal world and then projecting it outwards.
Yeah, a good point. And what are some of the techniques that you have used or you teach other people how to do? Since we're coming close to the end of the show, I'd like to give people, you know, the personal experience of something so that they can take that with them. Can you do that for us?
In what, like calming yourself down and bringing a different state of emotion?
Maybe, yeah.
Or
how to just the basic center and raise your own energy.
Definitely.
You know, in the event that you find yourself, you catch yourself in an emotional state and you realize what's going on, what do people do? How can they balance themselves and bring themselves into a higher frequency?
Definitely. Let's give some good take-home stuff that people can actually use immediately. So first and foremost, you need to be aware. You need to say to yourself, look, I don't like feeling this way. I don't like it when I get caught in these thought patterns, into these thought loops, to where I get sucked into this angry, depressive, you know, jealous, whatever state it is. I do not prefer this. This is not my highest good. So I am going to pay attention. And so what you want to do is just kind of check in with yourself periodically throughout the day. Like, how do I feel right now? And just kind of look inwards and, like, am I smiling inside? Do I feel good? Like, what's going on? Actually, no, I'm kind of frustrated right now. Why am I frustrated? Okay, well, I got stuck in traffic. I stuff happened at work. I don't like what happened, you know, and I've been letting this build up and build up and build up. And so now I don't feel good about this. Okay, so now I recognize I don't feel good about this. Or, you know, a thought process, like some stuff happened with somebody in the past. And so you're starting to, you know, pull into those cycle loops of, you know, grudges of, you know, things that, you know, people you might not even talk to for the past 2 or 3 years. And yet you still get angry when you think about these things. You know, start recognizing when you fall into that state, and then it's a very, very simple process to get out of this. Stop doing it. So, like, what I mean about this, there are some very simple things that we could do here, but, you know, one of the easiest ways to do this is to literally put a smile onto your face. Just the simple act of putting the, you know, making the muscles contract backwards and put the smile on your face, that action literally starts to release cortisol, and it starts to release, you know, serotonin and dopamine into the bloodstream, and it starts to produce feel good chemicals. And so a smile is nothing more than a response to an energy. So the smile energy is that laughing, you know, happy light, like, I feel so good that I my body's lighting up, and it has to express itself on my face. You know, and it's the same type of thing with laughter. It's nothing more than a response to the energy that you're creating. And so what you want to do is just put that smile on your face, and even if you don't feel like you're very happy at all, keep it there. And so this makes it easier to physically start shifting yourself into a different state of awareness, a different state of thought, a different state of feeling. And so you're recognizing, I am physically working towards coming out of this state right here. So this is my physical base right here. Now, what I'm going to do is try to buffer this emotionally and mentally. So emotionally, let's start thinking about something, you know, mentally that makes me smile. So what do I like? You know, what do I really get a kick out of? What makes me happy? Is it, you know, this comedy routine that I saw that, you know, the jokes always really make me chuckle, make me laugh? Is it, you know, a puppy licking my face? Is it, you know, all my kids, you know, laughing and having a good time? What makes me really smile? And start to think about that and start to evoke that feeling inside yourself that makes that smile happen. So you've got the three things. You've got the mind, the body, and the spirit here. You've got the mind. You're thinking about what makes you smile. You've got the body. You've got the physical smile going. And then the spirit, you're emotionally starting to reach out towards that. And so even if it doesn't work the first time, what you're doing is you're stretching yourself out of that loop cycle, and you're opening yourself up into new neurological pathways. You're literally faking it until you make it. And what that is nothing more than opening up the amazing talent of neuroplasticity inside the brain. You can literally train yourself to do anything if you practice enough and you're aware enough and you catch yourself. So whenever you start falling into those little triggers, no, let's get out of that. Let's go this way. I don't like that. Let's go over into this direction, which I prefer over here, because I like to feel good. I like to feel happy, and I don't like it when I'm angry, and I don't like it when I'm sad and I'm holding on to these things. And so now, don't get me wrong. There's definitely a benefit to anger and sadness, because they are emotions and all emotions are valid, but it comes down to what you do with this emotion. These loop cycles are what you want to jump out of, because they don't serve anything. A natural depressive state is when you are sad because something happened, and so you allow yourself to be sad, and then the next day you feel better, the next day you feel better, and then the next day you feel better. And so you're still sad about what happened in the past, but you still feel good now in the present, you know. And so it's all about allowing things
to wrap it up.
Oh yeah, we're always running out of time.
We'll be running into the next show, and we'll be in doing a second hour. So, and I just wanted to say something, because Bashar used to say something like, "When you look in the mirror, you can't expect the mirror to smile first."
Exactly.
So, Eric, I want to thank you again for coming on tonight. I just love talking to you, and I love your energy. And all of the information about your website is on the program, so people can find it. And thank you very much for coming and inspiring us all.
You are very welcome, Lance. Thank you for having me on.
All right. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Good night. Have a good one, bud.